I'm going to run through the basics of the SEC process rather quickly, but I'll speak slowly. This is mostly coming from RSA 162H. There's an excerpt in the handout and from their administrative rules, which there are some, contrary to what a lot of people think, but they're not all that substantive. What types of projects are within the SEC's jurisdiction? Industrial energy facilities, such as oil refineries and gas plants, facilities with the capability of generating 30 or more megawatts of electricity. This would include projects. Speak up? Sure. Facilities with the capability of producing 30 or more megawatts of electricity, so you know, the Groton Wind Project, Wild Meadows. The SEC can take jurisdiction, if it chooses, of smaller projects. And obviously, it includes the jurisdiction over large transmission lines, such as Northern Pass. So who is on the SEC? The statute sets out, it's got a list of about 13 people. The DES commissioner, right now that's Tom Burak, he is the chairperson of the SEC. The vice chair of the SEC is the chairperson of the Public Utilities Commission, and right now that's Amy Ignatius. Other people on it are the Commissioner of DRED, the Department of Resources and Economic Development, and within DRED, there's two more people on it, the Director of Parks and Recreations and Forests and Lands, the Commissioner of the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Transportation, and there's several others. Most of these members can designate someone else in their department to sit on a panel for them. Often, if you go to, or almost all the time, when you go to a hearing, you're not seeing all the commissioners of all the departments. You're seeing high-level staff, and the statute says they've got to be senior administrators. Tom Burak can only designate the assistant commissioner in this case, and the PUC chairperson cannot designate anyone else. I think given the attention that Northern Pass has gotten, there's a good chance that Commissioner Burak may sit on a Northern Pass adjudicative proceeding. So the clock begins, as Susan alluded to, when Northern Pass files an application with the SEC. And the application will be enormous. It'll contain the following information. It'll describe the project in detail. It'll identify Northern Pass's preferred siting choice and any other siting choices. It'll describe the environmental impact. It'll have their plans for resolving any environmental problems. It'll describe their financial, managerial, and technical capability for constructing and operating the project. It'll have exhibits. It'll have expert reports. It'll have pre-filed testimony of its expert witnesses. The application should be available on the SEC's website pretty soon after it's filed. The timeframes and events. So the application is filed, and the SEC has 60 days to determine whether the application has all the information that it needs to determine that it's complete. So what the SEC does is they send parts of the application out to the various state agencies, and those agencies determine whether the application has sufficient information for them to evaluate their portion of the project. If the SEC deems that the application is incomplete, which they recently did with the Wild Meadows wind project of Iberdrola, the applicant would have 10 days to either cure the defects or they'd have an unlimited amount of time to just file a new complete application. If an application is deemed complete and accepted by the SEC, there will be public hearings within 30 days. These aren't the adjudicative proceedings that I'll talk about in a little while, but within 30 days of accepting the application as complete, the SEC must have at least one public informational hearing in each county in which the project will occur. And towns can request additional informational hearings as well. And these public informational hearings, and I keep stressing the word informational because they're not like a court kind of hearing. They're informational where the applicant comes, explains their project to the public, to the agencies, and to the SEC, and takes input, answers questions. And the SEC must consider and weigh all of the evidence that they receive before, during, and after these informational hearings. After that, you've got the adjudicative proceedings, which are basically like a trial. And I'll explain these in more detail in a bit, but the statute doesn't set a deadline by, you know, where in the process these adjudicative proceedings need to occur. Within 9 months, though, as Susan said, the SEC is required by statute to either approve or deny a certificate for the project. But this rarely happens. They routinely extend the deadline. And as we've gotten more wind projects and as, you know, over the last few years there's been a lot before the SEC, it's just hard for them to get these done within the statutory period. So I would expect that Northern Pass would not be wrapped up within 9 months. So the final decision by the SEC comes at the conclusion of the adjudicative proceedings, where the SEC closes the hearing and they start deliberating in public. And they make their decision during the public deliberation, and then subsequently they'll release a written decision explaining their findings. That could be anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 months after they've made their decision. After the written decision, the applicant, if they've been denied, can appeal to the New Hampshire Supreme Court, or an intervener can appeal if the certificate has been granted. So the adjudicative proceedings, how do they work? Well, there's a burden of proof, which is what the applicant must prove. In this case, it would be a preponderance of the evidence, and you board members in the room especially are familiar with that. To approve the project, the SEC must make several findings, and the applicant's got to prove these during the hearings, the following. And these are also, I'm glad you put these in here. On the third page are the three categories, although the three categories have many subparts. First, the SEC needs to find that the applicant has adequate financial, technical, and managerial capability to assure construction and operation of the facility. You'll see that I'm not directly quoting, I don't think. That the project will not unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region, and with due consideration having been given to the views of municipal and regional planning commissions and municipal governing bodies. And three, that the project will not have an unreasonable adverse effect on aesthetics, historic sites, air and water quality, the natural environment, and public health and safety. And with this last list, even though there's an and, where it says and public health and safety, the SEC must find that there's no unreasonable adverse effect on each one of those, so it's not collective. So, for example, in you may be familiar with the Antrim Wind Energy Project. In that case, they denied a certificate because they found that there was an unreasonable adverse effect only on aesthetics. They didn't need to go any further. They didn't discuss each and every statutory requirement because they just found that one wasn't met, therefore the certificate would be denied. So here's how it works. The applicant will present their case. They'll have expert witnesses testifying. You know, they'll have people from the company explaining it. They'll have bird and bat experts. They'll have biologists. They'll have historical resources expert. They will have filed expert reports, studies, and pre-filed testimony. And then any interveners and the counsel for the public may cross-examine those witnesses. And when the applicant has presented their case and they're finished, the interveners and the counsel for the public may present their own expert witness testimony and present their case. So who may intervene? Intervention is set out in the administrative rules of the SEC, not in the statute. Interested parties such as towns, landowners, and affected organizations may intervene. The standard in the rule is the following. The petitioner's rights, the petitioners meaning the would-be intervener, their rights, duties, privileges, immunities, or other substantial interests might be affected by the proceeding. The applicant often will object to a party being granted intervener status. And this is more true with organizations, nonprofits, than I think it would be with a town. I think that Northern Pass would be less likely to say that a town through which the route would go through wouldn't have intervener status. So, and I hate, well, the chances of it being granted, I think, are, I hope, are non-existent. The applicant will also say, as a fallback position, well, if you're going to let them intervene, limit them to limit their participation to issues in which they have a particular interest. In the past, the SEC has been permissive in allowing interveners. Interveners may be represented by an attorney or represent themselves. And the SEC also has the authority to require two or more interveners to combine their presentation of evidence, their arguments, and their cross-examination in the interest of time, not having duplicative cross-examinations and evidence. Counsel for the public will be another party in this proceeding. The attorney general appoints an assistant attorney general at the time the application is filed. And this person is known as public counsel, counsel for the public. And according to the statute, counsel for the public's role is to represent the public in seeking to protect the quality of the environment and in seeking to assure an adequate supply of energy. Counsel for the public is not like a public defender. Their role is not to raise all of the issues and concerns raised by members of the public. That's not to say they don't raise issues that are raised by the public, but they're not there to press any issue that someone from the public may have. The administrative rules also provide for public statements to be admitted into the docket by people who are not interveners, and we see this often. They're all posted on the online docket, letters from towns, letters from neighbors, interested members of the public. A few odds and ends. The hearings will probably last several weeks. I would guess 2 weeks at the least. They will take place at the PUC in Concord or in one of the counties in which the project would be located. Now, an intervener may make a motion requesting that the hearing be held elsewhere than Concord, and that decision is completely up to the SEC. What can interveners hope to accomplish? One obvious possibility is that the project will be stopped. The SEC would, you know, could deny a certificate. It's happened before. If the SEC approves a certificate, it is all but certain that it will attach certain conditions. So an intervener may seek to have certain conditions put on it, such as burying part of the line, changes to the height or aesthetics of the towers, changes to the route. This will depend on what turns out to be in the application. As Susan said, we don't know yet what their exact plan is as far as the route goes and other details. What conditions will be put on there depends on how significant those changes would be and whether the SEC is willing to impose large changes that, you know, actually change the route. I'm not sure they would, but they might. For opponents of the project, what arguments might make sense? Looking at the list of things that the SEC must find, the ones that jump out to me would be that the project would have an unreasonable adverse effect on aesthetics and the natural environment, and then maybe that the project will unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region. And on this point, as the statute says, the SEC must give due consideration to the views of the municipality. Now, when you're talking about a region and an undue interference on the region, one town may not be able to make the strongest case, but several towns banding together may be able to really better represent a region and convince the SEC. I think that Northern Pass is a pretty unique project in that regard. So those are the criteria that first come to mind. In the second half, I'd be happy to give my thoughts on any other potential arguments. Thank you.